Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Relationships are designed to make things easier. And every relationship in your life is making something easier. Would you tell your neighbor that? Every relationship in your life is making something easier. Now, I know we don't like turning and talking to people in church because you want to just sit there and mind your own business. Don't nobody bother me, and I'm not going to bother nobody. But it's good to communicate one to another, all right? Especially if that was your spouse that you just said that to. I mean, y'all have talked today, and it was all good. It was pleasant. But every relationship in your life is making something easier, and God designed relationship when he gave man dominion over the garden and gave man his commandment. The first thing that he said when he had finished everything was that it was not good that man should be alone. And so God gave Adam Eve, and man has not been the same ever since. Glory to God. So God's not called us to be lone rangers. And so he has yoked us together in relationships, and you have marriage, and then you have friendship. And friendship can be a loose term, and so I'm going to share some things to help us perhaps categorize our friends. And I want to deal also not only with understanding our friends and who our friends are, and what types of friends they are, I want to deal in this service with the subject of offense. Because the number one enemy to every relationship is offense. That's enemy number one is offense. And so, you know, really, there are only two types of offended people. There are those that have been done wrong, and then there are those who think they've been done wrong. But you can't tell the person that just thinks they've been done wrong that you just think you've been done wrong, because that might even further offend them. So it takes mercy, the mercy of God, it takes the truth of God by the Spirit of God to deliver a person from being offended. But offense is the number one enemy to any relationship. The enemy wants you offended at your preacher, y'all. If he can get you offended at me, then I can't be a spokesperson for the Lord in your life. I can't deliver the word to you because you're caught up over something that offended you. So the enemy uses offense, and he never stops with offense until he has you offended at God. So he just keeps working his way up from the most influential person in your life all the way up the chain, but he'll never stop until you're offended at God, because ultimately the enemy's objective in offense is to get us separated from the Lord, okay? Because that is the most important relationship in our life, amen. So, but we have to deal with the topic of offense, because if you're gonna deal with friendship and grow in friendship, you have to understand what it is that the enemy is going to use to form a wedge in that friendship, or in your marriage, or any working relationship, any healthy relationship. You know, anytime you've got more than one person involved, then you have an opportunity for offense. So the word offense, when you say it or when you write it, offense, the word itself is translated to a trap. That's literally what the word means. It means trapped. So when you say, I am offended, if you translated the word offended into its original language, you would say, I am trapped. Now, nobody's going to say, I am trapped, but folk will get real bold and say, I am offended. Like it's a good thing. But what you're actually saying when you say, I am offended, is you're saying, I am trapped. Because offense is a trap. It's Satan's trap, okay? And no trap works without bait. You have to be baited in. And so there's a trap the enemy wants all of us in that will hinder our relationships, and the bait is offense. So we get offended and we think we're protecting ourselves and we're not gonna allow ourselves to be done wrong, and nobody's gonna treat me like that, and who does she think he is? And I don't know what he's up to, but see, we get offended and get bold and we don't realize we're just taking the bait. That offense is Satan's bait to get us caught in his trap. So there is not a relationship in your life worth having that the enemy's not going to oppose. And his number one tool, and I'm not coming up with this stuff because I'm not some counselor, I'm just a minister of the word, and I'm gonna show you in scripture, I'm just setting this all up. We're gonna get in the word, I'm gonna show you in the word of God that Satan's number one tool is offense. So if there's anybody important in your life right now, you have to know the enemy wants you offended at them. That's your husband, that's your wife, that's your mama, that's your daddy, that's your brother, that's your cousin, that's your nephew, anybody that's important, that's your friend. Now, let's talk about how we get baited into offense, because this is gonna be the reason, that we need to understand the types of relationships that we have with people. For the enemy to get us offended, and I want to, again, lay the foundation on why this is important. Jesus in Matthew 11 talked about a relationship with him and compared it to a yoke. And that when you're in the yoke with Jesus, then all of a sudden, what was heavy becomes light and what was hard becomes easy. Jesus is saying, in a relationship with me, what would have been hard for you, I make easy. Can anybody testify that Jesus has made some things easier in your life? Listen, there are times in my life I wonder how people don't know the Lord. I wonder how they make it. Man, when my daddy passed away, that was one of the hardest days of my life. And as hard as it was when my mama died, it was hard, probably harder for me when my dad died, because I was younger in the faith, and it was just a different process. And I just didn't cope with it very well. My dad had asked me to preach his funeral, and I told him I wasn't talking to him about no funeral. And the day came that I had to preach, and I didn't think I could do it. And when tragedy strikes your life, I know when it strikes mine, I think, okay, I have the Lord to lean on. I have his spirit to comfort me and strengthen me and walk me through these things. What do people do that do not have a relationship with God? How do they cope with things that are beyond the natural mind and beyond natural ability? So there's no doubt Jesus has made things easier for me, and I'm not the me you know me to be without the him that he is. That might be some bad English, but I knew exactly what I just said. He makes me who I am. And the right people in your life will make things that was once hard easy. The right people in your life make the right things easier. The wrong people in your life make the wrong things easier. Some of y'all used to club and do all this, that, and the other because the folk you hang around made that easy. I need people in my life that won't make sin easy. The folk that get mad at you and say, well, only God can judge me. Listen, you're just mad that I'm not making it easy for you to sin, but I'm not supposed to be making it easy for you to sin. The difference between friendship and marriage. It doesn't mean that the one you're married to is not your friend. Should be your best friend. But you still have friends outside of marriage. For a man, you know, you got a brother in the Lord. That's your friend. It's your homeboy. For a girl, you know, you got your friend. Now, if you're married, man, you don't have a girl as your best friend. Other than your wife. Let's go to Psalms 55, and we'll look at it in beginning in verse number 12. So let's do this real quick. Is there someone in your life, outside your spouse, include your spouse, but go beyond that, that God's put in your life, in your company, in ministry, in your life to build you up as a man or a wife or family or a coach to your child? Is there someone in your life that person's presence is gonna make a vision God's given you easier? Now, if you sit there and say no, then you're in trouble because you're a lone ranger, and even he had a Tonto. So I have to think, okay, there's people that God's going to strategically put in my life called friends, and they're there because there's a purpose that he's called me to achieve and them to achieve that we couldn't do separated. And so the enemy wants that relationship broken up because whatever that destiny or that plan is, the enemy doesn't want it to be easy. So he wants you to do it by yourself. All right? Comprende? Now, every relationship, every friendship automatically comes with expectation. In other words, if you're my friend, if you're my spouse, see, spouse is no higher expectation. Married people say amen. You know, nobody expects as much from you as the one you're married to. Married, your spouse expects a lot from you, way more than anybody else. Why are y'all so quiet? That's why we have the phrase, happy wife, happy life. Because you know, listen to all women say, amen.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
So, when you're called friend, all right, once you're called friend, once I say you're my friend, automatically now I got a higher expectation in you. Automatically. All I got to do is say I'm your friend. And once we use the word friend, my expectation just went up of you. So if I'm moving and you got a truck, see, if you're just somebody that I know that has a truck, I don't even get mad when you don't show up and move my stuff. But my friend who has a truck and a trailer didn't show up, then that's when you get talked about. And he said he's my friend. Said he was my friend. Now watch this in Psalm 55, verse number 12. Everybody there? For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Wasn't an enemy that did this to me. Wasn't an enemy that didn't show up to help me move my furniture. Wasn't an enemy that did that. Then I could have borne it. See, we expect enemies to be enemies. There's some folk, when they do us wrong, we expect it. There are some folk, when they say ugly things about us, we don't even get surprised. Right? We expect it. Now, he said, then I could have borne it. So what he's saying already is, if you were my enemy and had reproached me, done me wrong, then I'd have been fine with it. See the expectation? Neither was it he that hated me. See, I could have expected that. That did magnify himself against me. I'm bigger than you. I'm better than you. I would have hid myself from him. I stayed away from that person if I'd known they were going to do me wrong. I'd had no expectations in them had I known they were my enemy. Once you begin to recognize the relationship, then in that relationship you start managing expectations. There can be no health in your relationships until you learn how to manage your expectations. We have to manage our expectations in each other to have healthy relationships. Because at some point, everybody other than Jesus is going to let you down. Everybody other than Jesus at some point will let you down. And if you're not careful, you'll even think Jesus has done it a time or two. So he says, it was not an enemy that had reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was he that hated me or that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him, but it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and my what? Acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. We went to church together. We took sweet counsel together. We walked unto, they didn't just see each other at the house of God. They went to church together. He said, because of that, I couldn't bear it. What's he saying here? He's saying that the expectation was higher because of the relationship. And church, that's just true. We have to understand that the closer the relationship, the higher the expectation. Do the hand motions. The closer the relationship, the higher the expectations. Now watch this. The higher the expectation, the more vulnerable you are to offense. Why? Because you don't get offended until your expectations aren't met. So I expected you to do something. You didn't do it. I'm offended. There really can't be offense until there's expectation. So if you see somebody in line at Walmart and they don't speak to you, but you don't know them, you don't think nothing about it. There's a bunch of people at Walmart didn't speak to you. But if you see someone you go to church with that knows you, that you would say is my friend, my brother, my sister in the Lord, and they see you straight up and don't speak to you, then now you get offended. Why? Because the relationship creates expectation. And once there's expectation, there's a chance to be offended because there's no offense until I expected something. Everybody got all that? All right, so what he's saying here in Psalm 55 is that if you were my enemy, I wouldn't be offended. But you're my friend. We were doing this thing together, and you did me like this, I'm offended. I expected more of you. I expected something of you. Now, at some point, everybody's going to let you down. So we have to learn how to manage our expectations. It doesn't make what a person did or did not do right or wrong. It just says, I've got to decide how I'm going to manage my expectation so that I don't walk in offense toward this person until the Lord, Jesus, Pastor James, and the Word of God works them out. I'm still going to walk in love. And I'm going to still be who God called me to be. And even though I know I didn't do anything on purpose to create this offense, I'm not going to allow their offense get me offended. I'm going to walk in love and let Jesus work that out. That's hard to do, but that'll save a relationship. Amen. Now, let's go over to the book of Zechariah. It's toward the end of the Old Covenant. And I want to go to the 13th chapter. Zechariah, chapter number 13. It's not hard to find. It's right in front of Malachi. You can say thank you now, because we can find Malachi. It's that book about tithing that we always avoid. I said, well, Malachi, that's Old Testament. Yeah, but it's real close to the New, though. Man, it's close. All right, Zechariah 13, and let's go down to verse 6. Now, what I'm about to read is a prophecy about Jesus. It's a prophecy about Jesus, but we can learn from it. All right. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Now, this is a prophecy about Jesus. In some Bibles, you'll see a little star right next to that 6. Who in here, seriously, who in here has a little star or something beside the 6 in their Bible? You have a little star or something there. Okay, I got one in my Bible. The rest of y'all bought cheap Bibles. But anyway, the... That's funny. Man, my mama bought me this Bible. But if you see the star there, that means it's that's just funny to me. It's pointing to Jesus. That little star in the Bible means that's a prophecy about Jesus, okay? So verse 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So Jesus was betrayed by Judas with a kiss, and he even said back to him, friend, you betray me with a kiss. So that was this prophecy was fulfilled. Now, the reason I read this is because friends have the power to hurt us worse than enemies. You say, why? Because we expect more. We expect more. You remember the old thing we used to say when we were kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, sticks and stones are what enemies throw at you. But enemies' words don't hurt you. Friends' words hurt you. Right? Let's go to Acts chapter number 24. So friends have the potential to hurt us worse because we expect more from them. Your spouse can hurt you worse because you expect more from them. Everybody can agree with that, right? Now, I want to share something that a friend of mine shared with me some time ago. And I thought it was awesome. Man, I wrote it down, and I was like, man, I got to use this. Where did you get that? And he said he got it from somebody that told him that Bishop T.D. Jakes had shared this. If you could just write down these three things and then understand, okay, the people in my life, friends I've had in my life, can be categorized in one of these three ways. Number one, confidants. The confidant. They're the ones that's going to be with you for life. That's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's the friend that Jesus is. That's the friend that lays down his life for you. That's John 15, 13, where Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's your friend. You live your whole life and not have too many of them. Jesus had 12 disciples, but he had, and that was a circle that he operated in. But then he had an inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And they were closer than the others. So he had his circle of friends, then he had his inner circle. I feel like life is that way. We have a circle of friends, then we have inner circles. People we can tell anything to. You know, Jesus said in that same context, he said, I don't call you servants because the servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. He said, but I call you friends because whatever the Father shows me, I show you. So Jesus was saying a true friend or a true friendship has transparency in it. You can be real with true friends. You can share your mess. You can share your good times. You can share your bad times. And they're not going to hate you for it or condemn you for it. They'll walk you through it. They may not condone it, but there's nothing you can't lay out before them. There's complete transparency and there's trust because these are your confidants. You are in the yoke with them. This thing is for life. There's trust there. That's your tight friend that even if you move away, you still connect with this person because that's your confidant. If you have any of those, be thankful. Amen? Amen? Then you have the constituent. The constituent. The constituent is not necessarily for you. They're for what you are for. So if you're for something and they're for something, then they'll join with you. What draws the two constituents together is the objective, not necessarily each other. Now, don't get mad right now and say, ooh, I knew there was a constituent in my life. No, we need constituents. We need people, and we come together and we're after the same thing. If you think about it, the body of Christ operates like that. We're all for Jesus. We're all for his word. We're all for getting the gospel out. We're all for seeing the lost saved. We're all for seeing the bound made free. We're all for truth and the word being published. And so we may not all be the best of friends that we just share all our dirty laundry with, but we're for the same thing. We're for the same cause. We're after the same objective. So these are still friends, and you just have to recognize that this person in my life is a constituent. The reason we're together is we're after the same thing.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.